KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, we have clear skies here in Atlantic. It's currently 13 degrees below zero, and we look forward to be sunny here today with a high near 16. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your trained home comfort specialist dealer. And again, one final reminder that the Audubon schools are starting 2 hours late this morning, and that is due to a water main break. Again, a two-hour late start at Audubon, no AM pre-kindergarten at Audubon, but St. John's Christian Preschool will hold its regular classes. In the news, authorities in Pottawatomie County say there were no serious injuries reported after a pickup truck struck an Underwood Community School District bus Monday morning. The accident happened at around 9:20 a.m. at the intersection of 270th Street and Elm Tree Road. The Daily Nonpareil says the bus was carrying students to Underwood Community Schools, which had started 2 hours late yesterday due to the bitterly cold conditions. The paper reports the front bumper of the bus was bent in, limiting the movement of the wheel, so another bus had to be called to take the children to school. A tow truck was able to bend the bumper back out using its winch, making the bus drivable again. The pickup truck sustained extensive damage to its right side. The driver was cited for failure to stop at a stop sign. News time is 8:02.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
No injuries were reported following an accident Friday morning here in Atlantic. Authorities said yesterday a vehicle driven by Jeffrey Sells of Atlantic crossed the center line of the road as Sells was heading north in the 1200 block of Maple Street. His vehicle struck a southbound vehicle being driven by Sandra Neighbors of Anita, causing a total of $8,000 damage. The accident happened at around 9:30 a.m. Friday, and Sells was cited for failure to maintain control. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers today released information about an accident that happened last Thursday night. Brothers said a 2007 Ford Mustang GT driven by 28-year-old Megan Warwick of Clarinda was traveling west on the Highway 2 bypass at around 11 p.m. when her car went off the road to the right and into the ditch on the north side of the road. The car then slid clockwise and sideways before the driver's side hit a flagpole. The front end of the vehicle hit the southwest corner of a screened-in porch of a residence at 1101 South 22nd Street and continued a clockwise spin before running over a wooden swing set behind the home. The car also hit the south wall of an unattached garage before it entered the garage and hit another Ford Mustang parked in the garage. Warwick's car then exited the garage backwards out the west before coming to rest. Warwick got out of her car and left the scene on foot. Not long afterward, Clarinda police were called to 907 Meadowwich Drive after they received a report a woman was ringing the doorbell. When police located Warwick, she said she'd been dropped off by a friend. After an investigation, though, Warwick was placed under arrest for OWI. She was also cited for failure to maintain control and reckless driving. Damage to her vehicle was estimated at $7,000. Damage to the residence and associated property was estimated at $33,400 altogether. The U.S. District Judge has sentenced 40-year-old Michael Philip Castor of Council Bluffs to 110 months in prison on a charge of being a felon in possession of a firearm. Castor will also be required to serve 3 years of supervised release to forfeit the firearm and ammunition he possessed and is required to pay a $100 special assessment for the Crime Victim Fund. Castor remained in the custody of the U.S. Marshal pending designation of the Federal Bureau of Prisons facility at which he will serve his sentence. In sentencing Castor, Judge Robert W. Pratt found that Castor was subject to the enhanced sentencing provision of the Armed Criminal Career Criminal Act, which increases the sentence of a convicted felon in possession of a firearm based on prior serious drug felony or felony violent crime convictions. Castor was found to have 3 prior violent crime convictions in Nebraska, including burglary, robbery, and the use of a firearm to commit a felony. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa says also that 41-year-old Jason Sean Allen of Hastings in Mills County was sentenced Friday in U.S. District Court in Council Bluffs on a charge of felon in possession of a firearm. Judge Robert Pratt sentenced Allen to 24 months in prison to be followed by 2 years of supervised release. Allen was also ordered to forfeit the firearm he possessed and pay the $100 special assessment to the Crime Victim Fund. He remained in the custody of the U.S. Marshal pending designation of the prison facility. The charge arose from the response by Mills County Sheriff's deputies to a call of a suspicious person on private property. Upon arrival, deputies found Allen with a disabled vehicle in a private driveway. He was observed to have bloodshot eyes with an odor of marijuana emanating from his person. In an ensuing investigation, deputies found drug paraphernalia and an unloaded .22-caliber revolver in the vehicle, of which Allen was the sole operator and occupant. Along with other criminal history, Allen had previously convicted of felony charges of theft, serious assault, forgery, and multiple charges of OWI third offense. The case was investigated by the Mills County Sheriff's Office, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office reports they recently launched a newly designed inmate list website resource, which is the latest stage of the SO's public information website project. The new page provides a near real-time listing of persons currently incarcerated in the Pottawatomie County Jail. Sheriff Jeff Danker said that crime victims, family members, law enforcement officials, attorneys, and the interested public will be able to view a current list of people who are confined in the jail facility. The inmate list can be found in the public awareness section at www.potcosheriff.com. Officials at the Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha say a former police officer who accidentally shot himself outside of a Glenwood Elementary School last week is in good condition. The Daily Nonpareil reports Douglas Trent Good, the parent of a student at West Elementary School, was taken to the hospital Friday after he accidentally shot himself in the leg with a 9mm handgun while waiting inside of his car. The incident happened around 3:30 p.m. in the lower playground parking lot. Good is a former Glenwood and Creston police officer and had taught training classes for people seeking permits to carry concealed weapons. Parents of students at West Elementary were notified about the incident through a voicemail. The Glenwood Police Department continues to investigate that incident. And residents of Logan and Harrison County are being urged to conserve water while workers try to determine where a break may have occurred in the system. Water for the city of Logan comes from four wells located several miles from town. The amount of water coming in from the wells has gradually been decreasing in recent weeks, from about 250 gallons per minute to 160 gallons per minute. It's believed that the decrease in water production is due to a break in the line somewhere in the system. Crews spent most of this past weekend trying to locate the problem, but had been unable to do so as of Monday. The city currently has a full storage tank of 250,000 gallons, but uses an average of 160,000 to 170,000 gallons a day. And until the cause of the problem can be determined and repaired, residents in Logan are being asked to conserve water as much as possible to retain an adequate supply. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, President Obama delivers his State of the Union address to Congress and the nation tonight, and one thing he'll be announcing is an increase in the minimum wage for employees working under new federal contracts. Last year, Obama called for an increase of the minimum wage to $9 an hour, but the executive order the White House says he'll sign will increase the lowest wage from $7.25 to $10.10. Obama is also expected to announce executive actions on job training, retirement security, and help for the long-term unemployed. People across the Deep South are anticipating snowy and icy roads both today and tomorrow as a storm moves in from the central U.S. Snow has already begun falling in Alabama. In the Hampton Roads area of Virginia, forecasters are predicting a foot of snow. Much of Georgia is under a winter storm watch, and some areas could get up to 3 inches of snow, but the big concern with plummeting temperatures is ice. Hundreds of airline flights have been canceled. And Pete Seeger is being remembered today as not only a folk singer, but an activist. Seeger died last night at a hospital in New York City at the age of 94. He was known for such songs as If I Had a Hammer and Where Have All the Flowers Gone. But the banjo picker also was a political activist, advocating for causes ranging from civil rights to the cleanup of New York's Hudson River. In 2011, Seeger walked the streets of Manhattan, joining the Occupy movement. KJAN News Time is 8:11.
I told you this house was too good to be true. We haven't even been here a month, and the furnace won't start, the toilet keeps backing up, and the bathtub has a constant drip.
I told you I will fix everything this weekend.
No. That's what you said last weekend before the toilet broke. And remember the last time you tried to fix the furnace? Yeah, the fire department had to come and we were the laughing stock of the whole town. Seriously, if you don't call Bob today, I'm going to stay with my parents.
Hi, this is Bob at Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, your local train dealer in Fontenelle. Let me help you keep the fire burning in your marriage and not in your basement by completing all those honey-do lists for you. No job is too big or small when it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing. Just call me at 1-877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
And in the funeral announcements, Leon Cooper, age 87, of Greenfield and formerly at the Fontenelle area, died Friday at the Community Care Center in Stewart. Funeral services for Leon Cooper will be this morning at 10 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Judy Turner Wright, age 68, of Atlantic, died Thursday in Omaha. No services are planned for Judy Wright, but a celebration of life gathering will be held today from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Joanne Neary, age 81, of Atlantic, died Thursday at Creighton Hospital in Omaha. Funeral services for Joanne Neary will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Nola Lamb, age 82, of Redfield, died Friday at Adel Acres in Adel. Funeral services for Nola Lamb will be on Wednesday at 11 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter. Dwayne C. Partlow, age 90, of Stewart, died Monday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for Dwayne Partlow will be Thursday at 10:30 at the Fairview Congregational Church in rural Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Myrna Nelson, age 76, of Shelby, died Sunday. Funeral services for Myrna Nelson will be held Thursday at 10:30 at the United Lutheran Church in Shelby. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Shelby has the arrangements. Dorothy Betts, age 89, of Audubon, died Saturday at the Friendship Home. Funeral services for Dorothy Betts will be Thursday at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements.